The Volunteers, written by Douglas Riemann and read by David Rintoul.
Chapter 1. Three of a Kind. The clouds above the port of Liverpool were bunched together for another onslaught, although the wharves and docks were still glistening from an overnight downpour. A typical Liverpool morning, some might complain. It would be April in a few days, but looked and felt more like winter. Gladstone Dock was, as usual, packed with warships of every size and class. Minesweepers to keep the coastline clear, battered little corvettes, frigates, and here and there the longer, more stylish hull of a destroyer. For this was Liverpool in 1943, the headquarters of the Navy's Western Approaches Command, from whence each week the convoys left for the corners of the world where the war was being waged with unrelenting ferocity. And yesterday, a homebound convoy had passed the Barlight vessel after running the gauntlet of the Atlantic, the Killing Ground, as most of the sailors knew it. The warships, ranked together because of lack of space, appeared to be supporting one another after their ordeal. Convoy escorts, whose efforts kept the routes open for the rusty lines of merchantmen without which Britain could not survive for more than a couple of weeks. Food, oil, guns, ammunition, and the most precious cargo of all, men. Alongside two elderly destroyers, veterans of the Great War, lay another larger one, which seemed to stand out from all the rest. HMS Levant had been the senior escort of that last homebound convoy, and was only 18 months old. She was big and well-armed, and, apart from a few scrapes around her raked bows, showed little sign of the many convoys she had watched, protected and chased, since her keel had first touched water just 2 miles away at Birkenhead. The forenoon watch were working unhurriedly about her decks and bridge, thinking probably of the next run ashore into this bombed, defiant, and somehow wonderful city. Liverpool had, from the very first convoy in 1939, opened its arms and its heart to the thousands of sailors, naval and merchant service, who nightly thronged the bars and clubs, their refuge from the Atlantic and its bitter memories. In his day cabin, Levant's commanding officer took a framed photograph of his wife from a desk drawer and stood it in place. He was 30 but looked older, his face lined and reddened by hours and days on his bridge. The photograph's reinstatement had become symbolic, a return, no matter how brief, to normal. The captain spent his convoys on the bridge, or snatching a catnap in his cupboard-sized sea cabin behind it. He looked around the cabin. 2 days ago it had been the overflow from the sick bay, as had the wardroom. They had lost 22 ships on the long haul from Newfoundland, and it was a miracle they had managed to rescue so many of their gasping, oil-soaked survivors. He glanced at an unopened newspaper which the ship's postman had brought aboard. The news would be all about the Allies' change of fortunes. No more retreats. They were on the offensive. It was proclaimed that even the invincible Africa Corps would be beaten into submission and driven out of North Africa once and for all. Then where? Sicily and Italy. It sounded an impossible dream after all the losses and setbacks. Norway and France, Greece and the Low Countries, Dunkirk and Singapore. They read like defeats, and yet somehow they had given new strength to fighting men and civilians alike. There was a tap at the door, and he sighed. Defaulters or promotions, a sailor requesting to see him privately, perhaps about a letter which had awaited his return from that awful convoy. It was hard to think of such ordinary matters after the great roaring greybeards in mid-Atlantic, the dull thud of a torpedo, and yet another tired merchantman toppling out of line, avoided, if not ignored, by her consorts. Close the gap. Do not stop. The merchantmen were the targets, helpless, obedient only to the flags and urgent signals from their escorts. But it was none of those things. It was the first lieutenant. The captain yawned. Yes, number one. Pilot to see you, sir. Yes, I see. It was coming back to him. A flaw in the pattern of things. The first lieutenant added unhelpfully, There's a signal to say his successor will be arriving tomorrow forenoon, sir. Send him in. The door closed, and as if from another world, the tannoy piped, I will see him in Robbins report the coxswain. His world.